This is Believing Buckeyes with Brian Brownlee and Chimdi Chekwa.
And we're brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, getting out of control a little bit, please reach out to 1-800-GAMBLERS for some assistance. They always are there 24/7 to help you out with your needs. So today on Believing Buckeyes, we got a very special guest. We got one of Ohio's own, Gary and Conley, out of Madison, Ohio, also a Buckeye. From all 10 Buckeye performer at Ohio State, went on to go first, be a first-round pick with the Oakland Raiders in 2017, where he played three seasons with the Raiders before being traded to Houston, played a season with Houston, and as football goes, you know, he caught it, you got an injury bug kind of come in. But we have a very special guest, man. We just glad you're here, taking time out your day to be with us. So, you know, how you doing today? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah. So I wanna give you flowers, man, because, you know, obviously playing the same position, playing the cornerback position, you know, when I was in the NFL, I was with the Raiders as well. But the ability to talk my trash, you know what I'm saying? Talk about how the Buckeyes, we got the best players, and to be able to turn the TV on in between meetings on a Saturday, you know, getting prepared for the next game, and to watch probably the best defense, not probably, to watch the best DBs in the nation on TV, and talk about how we, you know, we DBU and all that stuff, but for y'all to be able to back it up, and it was a great experience for me, you know what I'm saying? you know, being able to see y'all, you, Marshawn, you know, the safeties that was out there, lockdown, catch picks, do what y'all was doing, man. It was a special era, and you know, watching today, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we haven't held up that same level of play, but. Appreciate you coming on the show. How are you feeling right now? What you tell us a little bit of what you got going currently. You know.
Yeah. So right now I'm rehabbing at Exos. I've been dealing with basically like a nerve and a muscular injury in my calf/soleus. Basically my lower leg just like throbs whenever I try to run, plant, cut, jump. Land from a jump, anything in like that planter position, it just starts like throbbing like a toothache in my leg, and no doctor really has told me like what's been wrong with my leg, honestly. I've been having hella surgeries and none of it's helping. I have damn near 6 surgeries just cutting away at my leg because they think it's this, they think it's that, and it don't help. So basically, I hit up my agent hit me up and said that the guy at Exos, the rehab guy, he was wondering like why I wasn't playing and if he could help and whatever. I guess he's close to him or something. And I came out here, did an assessment at Exos. They looked at all my records from like my first surgery, first injury in the league to now, everything. And basically, he was like, or it's a lady, her name's Savannah. She was like, we want to look at everything and like basically come up with a plan. And because we don't want to just tell you like, oh, we can help you. If we can't help you, we gotta see if we can first.
Right.
So came up here, did an assessment, and it was like a 2-hour assessment. She was like really detailed, asking a lot of questions, doing everything. And she had a plan. And I've been doing rehab for damn near 2 years. And it's just been like basic rehab. Let's strengthen and let's do the normal protocols, but it's never been detailed and it's never been an actual plan. So when she had the plan, I was just like, really, like, I felt like, you know, how you have that like relief like it's not fixed yet, but it's like some relief. Like, I can trust and be confident in this plan. So I did that. So I ended up starting last week, came out here. So I'm doing rehab out here in Dallas, and I go back home to Houston every weekend to train fifth graders through high school football players, DBs and receivers.
That's good, man. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. First off, I know a lot of times, like you say, with injuries, it can get tricky, right? And sometimes it takes someone with some knowledge to dig a little bit deeper. Dig a little bit deeper because, like you say, the run of the mill ain't working for me. So if someone digs a little deeper. So I'm glad you had a spot now that you feel good about it. Hopefully, you know, over some time that she could, you know, the plan works. Yeah. You know, and you start that lower leg start to get better for you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I want to, and I'm, you know, I've had my long list of injuries myself, which ended up leading to me actually walking away from football. But I'm hoping that you continue to be able to progress and get to where you want to be, man. Because you know that's a tough part of the game we play, right? The injury, and especially the cornerback position.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, there's certain injuries that you can carry in certain positions and just play through.
Right.
A corner is like
it's gotta run. Like
it's too much running and cutting, man. Running. So to take it back a little bit, and you mentioned a little bit on Twitter, like at what point did you lock in to play corner? Like was that early in high school, late in high school? What brought you to becoming like the corner you are?
Actually today? I didn't lock in to play corner until I got to Ohio State my freshman year. So I played eighth grade. I played football seventh grade. I was a running back. And then eighth grade, I was a quarterback. And freshman year, I ended up going to Massillon, and I was, like, pissed off that I changed schools. I was just mad. So I was like, I'm not allowed to play. But then I ended up going to football trials anyway, but I was a quarterback. And they had, like, a hometown hero kid that they wanted to be quarterback. The coach was like, what position you play? I was like, I play quarterback. He was like, well, you think about playing wide receiver? I was like, all right, I ain't playing. So I didn't play at all freshman year. Sophomore year, I played JV, and I was number 97. And not a lot of people know this. Like, I was number 97, and I never seen the field, ever. I didn't play one game. I played, like, one snap in the last game. That was it. And wow. I was just like, yeah, I'm not playing football. Because I'm like, y'all playing me. What was crazy is I was a receiver my sophomore year, and I was going crazy on the scout team, like dogging all the varsity corners, DBs. Like I swear they couldn't not touch me, like off the line, anything. I was catching the balls, making them miss tackles, everything.
They just with number 97 though. Crazy.
So I end up not playing at all. I'm not even on JV though, like, because I know like sophomore year, play JV. I'm like, if I play JV, I play varsity next year. Didn't even get in on JV, so I'm like, man, fuck football. Like, I was a hooper anyway. I loved hoop, and I was like, I ran track, so I was on varsity track my freshman year. So I was just like, shit, I'm just do basketball track, forget football. And then, y'all know Devin Smith. We went to the same high school. We real close. He was like, he got an offer to Ohio State and stuff. You know, he was balling in high school. He was like, bro, you need to play football. You know, my Massillon's basketball team, they weren't that good. And I was playing like the 4 and the 5 because I was a tall person at the time. That's not my.
You had 97 in basketball too?
Nah. basketball. And then he was like, bro, you need to play football. He was like, you ain't going to get nothing for basketball here. They're not good. And you ain't even playing your position. He likes opportunity at football. And then there was another receiver. His name was Justin Olak. He was saying the same thing. And then they had the coaches telling me, like, you should play. Why are you not playing next year? Because, like, obviously they seen me balling. Like,
right.
So, like, why y'all didn't let me play if y'all want me to play so bad this year? Whatever. So I'm like, man, I'm going to try it. And then I end up trying out or playing again. And the corners coach, I never played corner in my life. He was like, we got opportunity to start at corner because there was two senior corners that had left. So I was like, shoot, I'm going to just take advantage because that's a chance for me to play. So I ended up playing corner for the first time my junior year. Didn't play any offense. And then I got an offer after my junior year to I want to say Northwestern was the first one. I think they offered me first. And then after that, teams just started looking at me. And then Team Up North came. And then I didn't know anything about college football or nothing. So, like, they offered me. I thought you was just supposed to commit. I thought that was just something you're supposed to do.
So I committed, like, on site. Like, it's the biggest school probably that's going to offer me. I never played corner. So I committed verbally. And then everybody that, like, previous players that went to college and stuff, and then my coaches, they was telling me, like, you could take visits from different schools and stuff. Three, you get 5 visits or something like that. So I'm like, bet. Because I only went to Michigan. I'm like, I want to see other schools, even though I committed. So they were mad that I wanted to go see other schools. So they were like, you go visit any other schools, you're going to pull your scholarship. So I was like, all right, I'm committing.
Yeah.
So I waited for Greg Madison to come.
Classic Michigan stuff. Yeah.
Right.
I waited for Greg Madison to come to my school. Like, and I was like, yo, I'm decommitting. Told him straight to his face. He was like, oh, you don't want to do that. And this was the time that Ohio State started recruiting me. He was like, you want to go to Ohio State, don't you? You don't want to go up there. You don't want to go up there. Blah, blah, blah. What's crazy is he ended up coaching there. I had seen him when I had went back to Ohio State. I was like, that's crazy that you told me not to come here and you here.
But you wanted to go.
Yeah.
Right. He wanted to be there. Right.
So I ended up decommitting and then ended up playing receiver and corner my junior year. And this is kind of why I tweeted what I tweeted the one day about, like, DBs. And everybody wanted to play receiver because that's what I wanted to play. Because, like, getting the ball is different. Like, you catching touchdowns, you scoring, all that stuff, you go to fame or whatever. And I was balling at receiver, like, because they didn't throw my way my senior year at corner because I was locked down the year before. So I really shined at receiver. I was all Ohio receiver. And then I got recruited for both. And then I went to Ohio State, and Coach Combs was like, you're a corner. You're not a receiver. You're a corner. You're a corner. And I was like, I want to play receiver. Like,
how much did they know that prior to, like, I know they gave you probably the athlete tag, right? But how much did they know what they wanted you to play? Just looking back, how much do you think they knew what they wanted you to play?
Coach Meyer at the time, he kept telling me, he was like, I still don't know what I want you to play, like, when I first came. But when I first got, even when my visit, like, when I went and then I committed, Coach Combs was like, you're playing corner. Like, he kept, like, me around him the whole time. I got there, I talked to Coach Smith and stuff, and then I was telling him, I want to play receiver. And then Coach Meyer was like, I still don't know what I want you to play, but Coach Combs is just, like, with me the whole time. Like, he was just like, you're a corner.
Shout out to Coach Combs for making it happen. Because if you're a defensive coach, especially if you're a cornerback coach or a DB coach, but your head coach is an offensive coach. Right. You know that he gives priority when he says this guy's a receiver. He's a receiver. So shout out to Coombs for making sure he got him
right.
He was on.
Yeah, I think it worked out, right?
Definitely worked out. But then when I got there, though, like, when we started like doing the position drills and stuff, I was with the corners, and then I met Eli and all them at first because Eli was my roommate. And then I met Roby and Duran. And Roby was already, like, hired, scouted and everything.
Yep.
And I was, like, watching him play. And he was showing me how to watch film and stuff. He, like, really took me under his wing. Him and Duran did. But Roby really, like, showed me how to, like, detail watch film and stuff. Like, I was just with him a lot all the time. And then I remember him, like, talking about him going to the league and all this stuff. And I was just watching them practice. And I'm like, bro, I can go to the league for corner.
Yep.
If I'm watching these dudes do it, like, the way we doing shit, and we, like, doing the same techniques and all this shit, and I'm doing just as good as them, I'm like, bro, I can make it to the league. So then after that, I was just like, yeah, I'm a corner. And I locked in from there.
That's what's up. Because when you play corner, and if you have all the tools, say you have all the tools, like you can run, you can move and all that stuff. You're a great receiver, you could catch really good. I probably could. Yeah. I couldn't catch as good as you probably. But when you play corner,
it's
you like could, it, Tim. You could.
But all right, bro, chill. But,
oh, man.
Like, cause Roby was a receiver in high school as well. I remember when he got there, he ran shredded. It was my senior year. Yeah. You know, you're trying to help him out to be a corner, but it's like, it's clear. Like, you don't have to rely on no quarterback. offensive line. Obviously, defensive line and other stuff helps you out. Yeah. But it's like, Cliff, if I can do this
based
on my talent, then I can make it happen. You know what I'm saying?
And I play receiver, so I'm like, shit, I know how they run routes and do this and do that. So I'm like, I got an edge for real. I'm like, definitely I can play corner, man.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. So you wanted to ask you, so obviously, like you said, coming out of Ohio State, obviously you go on, you stick at corner. Obviously, you do a fantastic job, right? You play really good football. Yeah. You guys won a national championship your time there. They're coming out in the draft. I believe you and Marshawn Lattimore, you guys are in the same draft, and both of you guys are touted as the number one, number two corner coming out in that draft. Now, I'm from Glenville. I actually got a Glenville shirt on. You can't really see it on the camera. Got my Glenville shirt on. But I just wanted to kind of, I guess, speak to that. You know, how did that feel? Like, was that a special moment knowing that, you know, obviously you learn from the guys in front of you, the Robies, the Duran, Eli Apple, being in front of you, learn the position with them, but then also sitting across the room from you, you know, another Buckeye that's also just touted so high. And just know that basically the process worked for you two, right? You guys came in there, the process worked, and now they're going into the draft. You know, everyone respects your game at this point in time and wants to see you on their team to kind of help them on the next level. How did that feel?
Yeah, I mean, it felt great. Like you said, like, everybody knows, like, you had so many guys in the room from years down. And then what's just crazy is, like, we best friends, like me, Eli, Marshawn, Malik, Denzel, Roby, all them, like, all the DBs are still close. Like, even if we don't talk, like, we still, if we link up, it's going to be like we talk every day. Like, it's like that with a lot of Buckeyes always. But, like, them knowing them, like, my best friends. And then, like, what's crazy is we're competing for those spots. Because we got so many that can play. So it's just like we're competing, but it ain't no beef. So it's like, because we know that's making us better. And we know we got to go even harder because, you know, I got a Marshawn and a Denzel right here. Like, and I was crazy. I was a captain in my senior year and I'm a returning starter. But like, I still practice and play like they could take my spot because they could. Like, if I fuck up, like, we got Marshawn Lattimore and Denzel Ward right here. Like, they could take your spot. And what's crazy is we ended up all playing at the same time because I moved to nickel my senior year. But, like, and then coming out, though, like, just knowing that we had me, Malik, and Marshawn, like, going first round, it felt real good. And then me and Marshawn, like, of course, being from Ohio, like you said, putting Ohio on the map and just, like, letting people know, like, Ohio got good football, it felt real good to do that. And then, like I said, having my best friend up there with me and then us – being really highly scouted and just getting that opportunity to go first round is a blessing for sure.
Now that national championship year was dope. I was at the Alabama game.
Yeah, that was actually the national championship game.
Yeah, it was the game.
I swear that was the game.
That's why I didn't buy a ticket to the next one. Because I knew going in, if they beat, you know, if we beat Bama, we win the championship.
That's exactly what we said.
Right. So, but take us through that year, because that was a wild year. Quarterbacks getting hurt, right? Now that we look back, we recognize how deep y'all team was, right? Yeah. Like, it was crazy at all the different positions. But just going through the, and I really just take it through, like, from Michigan to, you know, the championship game,
Big Ten championship game,
to the Alabama game, just take us through like that process. Just thinking back on it, you know, losing a quarterback, having Cardell step in, just what did y'all feel like?
Yeah, so we was always trained for competitive excellence. Like, the next guy up, like, he got to be ready. Like, mental reps anytime, like, being ready. And what's crazy is, like, that year, I only played special teams. People don't really realize that because I was on that team and I had like good plays and stuff on defense sometimes, but mainly I played special teams. But I learned what the importance of competitive excellence is and the bad side of it. And then I seen the good side of it when Cardell stepped in. So I don't know if y'all remember the Michigan State game that year. Eli was hurt, but Eli went. He didn't do practice. He did, like, limited practice, but he said he was playing. So at that time, Michigan State is towards the end of the year. So at that time, I'm like, because at the beginning of the year, me and him were battling for the position. And I was damn near right there, but I got hurt like the week of the first game. Like I landed on my back and I had to get carted off the field. And then I was like out for the rest of the week. So he ended up, I don't know, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have got the starting job, but it still wasn't decided who was starting that year. But then he ended up starting and he was balling too. We were both balling. But he ended up starting, so he's playing the whole year. So at that time, the Michigan State game, I'm just preparing for my special teams plays. This man goes out and warms up, and then everything's cool.
You know how
when you go back in and you come back out? We came back out, Coach Combs, you starting. I'm like, what you mean I'm starting? Like, this nigga just warmed up.
I've been there.
He's like, I can't play. He hurt. I'm like, literally, like, my stomach dropped to the fucking floor. I'm like, bro, like, I'm not ready. Like, I was just preparing for my fucking special teams plays. Like, I wasn't watching film on the defense or none of that shit. And what's crazy is I usually do, like, but I got so used to my role. Like, once it got, like, halfway through the season, I just was like, fuck it, I ain't playing. And then I got in there the first play. I think it was the second play. They threw a post on me. Deep post, and I had good coverage. He just caught it, and then of course, like me being out there shaking, catching a post, I'm just thinking like, oh, I'm shitty. So I got down. The next play, they did a motion and then motion back, and I ran with him. I played it perfectly. He caught the ball. I missed the tackle. Got ran over. Touchdown. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck is going on? Like,
I'm life is coming fast, right? Like,
crazy, bro. Yeah. But what's crazy is, like, when I got to the sideline, nobody was, like, yelling. Nobody was screaming. Nothing. Like, coaches, players, all, like, trying to give me hype. But in my head, I just wasn't there. Then in the next series, they caught, like, another deep ball on me. And then Eli ended up just, like, saying, fuck it, I'm going to play. He ended up, like, saving me, really. And then he ended up playing on a hurt hamstring the rest of the game. So that, seeing that, that's competitive excellence. Like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't doing my shit. And then the flip side, when Cardell, like, he always was on his shit. And what's crazy is in practice, we knew he was good. He was just, like, he just was childish, like, somewhat. Like, that's why he really didn't play for real. But he ended up, like, coming in and just falling because he did all his shit, like, he was supposed to do. He was ready for the moment when he called upon. So that's like the opposite of what happened to me. But like when we Cardell went in, like, of course, when JT went down, we like, damn, like, that's our leader, you know, and it fucked with us mentally because we care about him and everything. But we knew when Cardell went in, like, it wasn't no drop off at all, like, because he was ready for that and he practiced like that for sure.
I would say, so just thinking about that team. And you know how deep that team was from top to bottom. If you guys were in this current era where you could transfer, like the transfer portal existed, and where you could just leave that same year, do you think, just thinking back, do you think that you guys would have that same level of talent, just like next man up, and it's like you didn't even miss a beat for real?
I think we would have some, but not as much. Because, like you said, people would definitely be leaving. Like, I know people that were saying that they wanted to leave. Like, and I know people that did end up leaving, like, to sit out. But, like, if you ain't got to sit out, definitely people would have been leaving. Because there was a lot of people that felt they should have started that didn't play. But they ended up getting signed later, and it worked out. But I think I think it's, like, give or take with the transfer portal now. Because it's like you could have somebody that should be playing in their transfer, or you got somebody that just want to leave because they don't like it, or they think it's too hard or something like that. So it's give and take.
Yeah, definitely. With the transfer, it's going to hurt, like you say, just mentally development, right? You know, you have a younger guy that maybe need a year or two to kind of figure out things, but in his head, he's ready to go. So he takes it upon himself, like, to kind of make that jump. And maybe, you know, hopefully it works out, but, you know, sometimes in a lot of cases, actually, you know, we know it's not. You know, you're going to take that jump, leap of faith, and then end up going somewhere where there is no development and you never improve, and you just, you know, they throw you out there because, you know, you are the guy for them, but it doesn't really help out. So
I feel like, okay, so, like, do something where they put it on the coaches to make like a quota or like a agenda where they gotta like show like if this kid wants to transfer and they feel like he transferred just because he don't like it, but the coach thinks he's not ready. All right, show me like what is right. his qualities? What is he doing? Show his practice film. Is he able to transfer because you just ain't playing him, or is he really just not ready to play? Like, yeah, they should put it on them and make it harder on them.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It is.
You're right, because you got coaches just taking guys.
Yeah.
or you're right, just taking guys, and they get them in their program. It's like, you're not going to play here either, buddy. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. But I wanted to bring this up. So what got you on the show is I know you had put out a tweet, and then Chip responded to that tweet. I wanted to read that tweet so you can kind of dive into it. So, when is this? It's not too long ago. 6 days ago, we get, can somebody have a podcast and talk about DBs and how it's the toughest position? And I'm assuming you're talking about the toughest position in football or in all the sports. What are we talking about?
I mean, I don't know nothing about other sports. Nah.
A joking.
Definitely.
Hardest, toughest. So I mean, like, give me a little bit more on that. I know Chim probably feels the same. I could debate. I'm a former offensive lineman, and I could say that you know we gotta go through a lot of tough situations up front, dealing with usually the let's say the most forceful player, defensive lineman. We talk about speed and size and all those type of things. So why do you feel that a DB is the toughest position in football, a DB or cornerback or how you want to take it?
Yeah. So when I say that, I don't say that any other position is tough, because I think every position is definitely tough, especially when you get to college and then especially when you get to the league.
Hold on. One sec. I got it. I'm sorry. Defensive line is an easy position to play. I'm sorry. It's not. If we write in things, defensive line got to be an easy position to play.
But I'm trying to get to that level. Like, it's definitely hard at every position to win.
You
got elite players that – every position.
Yeah.
Even you could play the worst team in the league and you're still going to get a run for your money. You could lose to the worst team in the league. But I say DB is the toughest position. Well, like, just not off of skill and talent and then, like, technique. Right now, you can't touch a receiver after 5 years.
Yeah.
That's already hard. I'm starting backwards and I can't touch this dude after 5 yards. He could be as fast or faster than me, stronger than me, as strong as me, as athletic, more athletic than me. And I'm already starting at a disadvantage because I'm starting backwards. I don't know what he's doing, and I can't touch him after 5 yards. And then the technique is, like, about patience. So it's like, of course, you got patience and stuff at every position. Like, O-line, you got to be patient. You got to know if he's coming with speed or bull rushing or something like that. But, like, DB – you got to really react to everything that a receiver is doing. And you got to chase him around the whole field damn near. If there's a scramble, if it's a busted coverage, or if it's a busted play up front or something like that. And it's just like, I feel like the athletic ability of a receiver now is just crazy. Like, you got DK Metcalf, you got Tyreek Hill. Like, I'm not as fast as DK. I'm not as fast as Tyreek. I'm not close to fast as him, and I'm fast, but it's just like, I got to guard this dude backwards. He can get to know where he's going, he can get a head start running forward, and I just got to cover him, like, and I could barely touch him, you know what I'm saying, after 5 yards. And they get to 5 yards in 1 second, so it's just like, you really can't touch them for real. Like, so I feel like that's the harder position because of that. And then just, like, a technical standpoint and all the running we do, like, because, like I said, you could put a backup receiver in and just run him off on a fade. We got to cover him. We don't know. He could be getting the ball. But in his mind, he know. Like, I'm just a clear out. But we got to cover him full speed. And then you come right back, second down. Here go Tyreek Hill coming in. Fresh leg. Like, damn.
And they rotate, bro.
Tyreek rotate.
After the fade, I was third down. Oh, maybe Tyreek got overthrown or something, or underthrown. Now Tyreek come out. He get to go on the sideline. Here come Jalen Waddle on third down running. And you got to go back to cover him. Like, That's crazy.
That's tough.
I feel like it's just the hardest position because load-wise is running like that. And then, like I said, the skill, you going against players that's just as athletic or more athletic than you. And I feel like it's just really hard.
And I want to add to that, man. You got to think about it. So the evolution of the game, right? Every time we talk about evolution of the game, what are we talking about? Offenses, yeah. Receivers, quarterbacks. Like, who got to deal with all of them? Like, it's us. You know what I'm saying? It's us.
Yeah, we got to cover quarterbacks.
Like, we got to deal with all the evolution. Every time they go, every time the NFL goes back and says, okay, we're going to make some rule changes. Who are the rule changes for? It's for the corners. Like, y'all, the DB, y'all can't hit, y'all can't grab, and we're gonna put more emphasis on, what was the emphasis this year? It was holding.
Holding, yeah.
Right, emphasis on holding, which, I mean, it's one of those things where the receiver can fight you off.
Yeah, the receiver can push off, but we can't hold. Like, what?
But you can't grab him, so you got to figure out, okay, how do I stop this push off without, you saw what happened in the Super Bowl, you, man. Like,
yeah.
So it's one of those things that I would agree that if I was comparing like a tackle, you know what I'm saying, a tackle having to not knowing how the defensive end is going to move and all that stuff, having to be able to move their feet. But the difference is, to me, at the corner position, you got to do all that stuff. And then after you do all that hard work to stay with the receiver, now you got to actually stop the play. Like, you got to like, you did all that work to stay with DK Metcalf. But now they're going to throw him the ball. He's covered, right? He's covered. But now you got to actually make sure he doesn't catch the ball with perfect placement, man. It's just
and possibly come up. And if you didn't throw it, now you got to come stop the run if the run come out.
Right.
Like, man, what you want me to do?
Yeah. Ain't that the worst when you got a running quarterback and you did great in coverage. You did great in coverage. Like, you 20, 15 yards downfield and the quarterback just break.
And
you're like, man, I just did the work out here. Now you want me to come over and make this
cover?
that's a lot of hard work. I will say this. I mean, when you think about DBs on the field, like how many, you know, obviously football is about points. Who got the most points at the end of the day, you know, most points wins the game. How many positions that if you just slip and fall, could just easily turn it to points on the board. You know, for any other position, by slipping forward, you know, anything can happen with the quarterback as off the lineman, same thing, D-line, you know, whatever. But if a DB slipping fall, it's a good chance that it could be just points on the board, just that simple and that fast. And we're just talking about slipping. We're not even talking about, you know, actually guarding the guy. So I had to give it to you. When you say that it's the tougher position, just like I said, it's a lot on the line.
That's just the mental part. It's like because all things considered, like if you are a confident player, you trust your technique and that stuff, you should be all right. But you can lose just off of lack of confidence, right? So like you talked about the game where you start, you're like, if you just have a little bit of like doubt. It could mess up. Like, you could still be in good coverage, but it might mess up the finish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's something. That's just one part of it that –
That's another hard thing, I feel like, because it's like you can do everything right, and the dude will still catch the ball. Like, you could be in the perfect position. You could jam the shit out of – like, you could see, like, DeAndre Hopkins sometimes. Like,
I was about to say, DeAndre Hopkins is mine in the league.
He just catch the ball, and you, like, as a corner, you like, man, like – Am I shitty or is he that good or like what the fuck did I do wrong? Now you thinking and then it's the next play, like you gotta hurry up and just go back. Like
and then after the game when you open up your Twitter.
Oh yeah. Everybody
they gonna be lighting you up.
Yeah. They gonna be lighting you up.
I forgot about the social media pressure of the position, right? That's why I'd be happy when I see Eli. Like, you know, the Bengals win, and Eli just go off on everybody. Like, because as soon as they lose, the table is going to be turned.
I was about to pick that up. He does that because he knows, like, I feel like, I mean, Eli, he low-key an asshole when he be doing shit. But, like, I feel like somewhere he does that because of, like, he knows, like, how we get portrayed, like, when shit happens like that. Like, because, like, I think I got, like, 8 or 9 players in this group chat, my stepson's school, I train the players. And they all talking about, like, Eli sucked because when he got faded by Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Trying to tell him, like, bro, like, he was in great coverage, great position.
Yeah.
Like, Cooper Kupp is a fucking MVP. Like,
He fucked up
because he made that play. He was in great position. He just caught the ball. Like, so I feel like in that instance, it's just like, when he win, he like, all right, now I'm gonna talk my shit because when I do my shit, but he, another dude just makes a great play, now I'm shitty. Like, come on now.
Right.
So I feel like
it's tough. Well, you always support him, man. Like, no, because like you said, I mean, obviously, when you win it, you get it. Like, you get it. Like, bro, I could do everything right, and it still don't go my way. Yeah. And then when, on the outside, are you looking at like, bro, you just don't let him catch the ball. Like,
right.
Just don't let him catch the ball. Like, that's all we ask you to do is don't let him catch the ball.
Turn around. Like, no, it don't work like that.
This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brown and Chimney Checkwa and our guest for today, Garyon Conley. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.